On the eve of his return to his native Germany, Pope Benedict XVI faces the daunting challenge of a nation and a continent that is not interested in religion. He's attending the World Youth Day celebration in Cologne, and it marks his first trip as Pope. He will be closely watched and his words closely analyzed. You're listening to Longitude. It's Wednesday, August 17, 2005. I'm Darris McNeely. The 78-year-old Pope worked for years beyond the scenes as the most powerful cardinal in the Vatican. His reputation as the guardian of Orthodox Catholic doctrine has caused some to fear what direction he might try to take the Church during his reign. However, he has grown into his job since assuming the papacy 4 months ago, and he seems to be more comfortable addressing small crowds in Italy. But his style is markedly different from his predecessor, Pope John Paul II, who was at ease while singing and swaying and even shuffling his feet to music at youth events that at times drew more than a million people. One observer has noted that the new Pope, Benedict, doesn't lack the ability to communicate, but he may have a problem with what young people demand the most, which is communicating in a far-reaching and immediate way, something in which John Paul was a master. It's obvious this pope follows a tough act. As Pope Benedict well knows, his native Germany is largely secular, and many Catholics are skeptical of his conservative ways. Thousands leave the church each year. Yet for many Germans, the election of Benedict represents another step in their long post-World War II return to the world stage, 60 years after Nazi Germany's defeat. Benedict accepted the invitation to this youth gathering in Cologne after his election as pope. He made the comment, he said, "Providence wanted my first trip abroad to take me to Germany." He made this comment in an interview this past week on Vatican Radio, which was actually in the German edition of the Vatican Radio Network. He said, "I would not have dared to have initiated this trip, but if the Almighty God decides to do something like that to you, then one can only be delighted." Now, of course, as he goes to Germany, the main event is World Youth Day, which began on Tuesday, and it will conclude with an open-air mass on Sunday in an area called Marienfeld, a former open-pit coal mine. The Pope's four-day trip, which begins tomorrow, Thursday, will include a number of important appointments for Benedict. Number one, he's going to make a major gesture to the Jews. He'll visit the Cologne Synagogue, which was destroyed by the Nazis in 1938, rebuilt in the 1950s. He'll also meet with representatives of Germany's 3 million-plus member Muslim community, many of them Turks, and with the officials from the Protestant churches in Germany as well. On the political side, he's going to have a meeting with Chancellor Gerhard Schröder and other top government officials, as well as the opposition leader Angela Merkel. Germany right now is in the midst of an election campaign that will likely see a new leader come September. Last Sunday, the Pope gave an interview I mentioned in German on Vatican Radio, and in that interview, he referred to the lack of religion in Europe's public debate, a topic that he'll likely come back to and emphasize in his address this week in Germany. He questioned what he called a kind of self-pity and self-condemnation in European culture. The Pope said in that interview that the continent's civilization and technology from its deep roots in Christianity and are to be rediscovered, and he attached them to more secure moorings that he would put within the church. Those are the moorings that he would prefer to see the political situation of Europe be attached to. He also, in that interview, referred to the global challenges facing the West. He said, "I believe civilization, with all of its dangers and hopes, can only be tamed and led back to greatness if it recognizes again the sources of its power. This pontiff, as well as his predecessor, has had a long-standing interest in Europe. Of course, Benedict took his name from the patron saint of Europe. Now, the last pope that bore that name was Benedict XV, who reigned during World War I, and that pope sought in vain to reconcile the warring nations. Now, perhaps the current pope, Benedict XVI, sees that his role today is as a healer of a breach between the secular and the religious aspects of the culture in Europe, the European culture. Certainly, his name shows that he wants to be an apostle for peace in a divided world, as well as a guardian of orthodoxy, and he will no doubt draw initiatives from the wellspring of traditional Catholicism to do so." It's interesting to note, going back a few months, just prior to the death of Pope John Paul II, actually the day before the Pope died, then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger was giving a talk to a group of churchmen who were gathered at a monastery outside Rome. During that talk, he addressed the problem of Europe, a Europe that is detached from its Christian roots. He made this comment. He said, "Let us reflect upon the present situation of Christianity, also upon the foundations of Europe. If Christendom, on one hand, has found its own most important expression in Europe, one needs to say, on the other hand, that in Europe there has developed a culture which constitutes itself in the most radical manner, not only as the contradiction of Christendom, but of the religious and moral traditions of humanity." End of quote. Now, that was a pretty strong statement against the current state of affairs, both politically and religiously, in Europe. And so it does reflect his keen interest in the problems that are facing the church in Europe and the problems facing Europe and its place in the leadership position that it has in the world today. Now, the Vatican in the past has argued for a very strong affirmation of God and faith in the now sidelined European Constitution. We have to ask if we will see this Pope lobby for a stronger role of religion in the political discussion that is to come in the aftermath of the French defeat of the European Constitution last May. There's an interesting echo from the past that we should note, again, going back to the reign, the pontificate of John Paul II. We go all the way back to 1982 in November. John Paul was addressing a group of youth in Spain, and he made a very strong call for Europe to rediscover its roots in Christianity at that time. Let me give you a quote from what John Paul II said in 1982. He said, "I, Bishop of Rome and Shepherd of the Universal Church, say to you, Europe of the ages, a cry full of love, find yourself again, be yourself, discover your origins, revive your roots, return to those authentic values which made your history a glorious one and your presence so beneficent to the other continents. Rebuild your spiritual unity in a climate of complete respect for other religions and other genuine liberties. You can still be the guiding light of civilization and the stimulus of progress for the world." End of quote. Again, that was by Pope John Paul II on November 9th, 1982, in Spain. It was a very important address that he made then. In that talk, and we see the same word coming up again in Pope Benedict XVI's comments, there was an emphasis on roots and Europe rediscovering its roots and its Christian traditions and its Christian history. That reference to roots takes us, interestingly, to a biblical quote, a reference to roots in a tree and a stump in the book of Daniel, where there's a prophecy that describes the system of Babylon in the person of King Nebuchadnezzar. It's in Daniel chapter 4. In that prophecy, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, and of course Nebuchadnezzar is the king and he represents the nation, but Babylon is looked at as a tree that is cut down, and an iron and bronze band caps the stump to inhibit further growth. It's an interesting prophecy in the fourth chapter of Daniel. You can read it. We have to ask, are we approaching the time when we might see this iron and bronze band lifted and the roots of an ancient system once again begin to grow? The Bible refers to an end-time system of Babylon that will dominate the political setting of the world prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. It will be a system that combines both secular and religious power. Will the words and efforts of this current world religious leader take us closer to seeing the appearance of this system? We'll be watching and writing about this in the weeks and months to come. I encourage you to browse through our WNPOnline.org website and keep yourself informed about this and many other topics in today's news. We'll help you sort through the news and events and understand how it impacts your life and where it will lead in the future. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.